This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in for Anthony Brooks. Yesterday, the car rental giant Avis bought Zipcar, which is based in Cambridge but planning to move to South Boston, for about $500 million.
Zipcar's CEO Scott Griffith insisted in an email to members, quote, "Simply put, this is a major win for Zipsters around the world."
Zipcar helped create the business of renting cars by the hour, and along the way, it became one of the hippest young companies around. But now, it's part of an established old-school company. So today, we're going to talk about what being owned by Avis means for Zipcar's future, and about the future of the sharing industry in general. And listeners, we want your thoughts on this, whether you're Zipcar members or not. We would like to know your reaction to Avis buying Zipcar, what you hope to see, what you're afraid of seeing, if you've seen weaknesses in the Zipcar system that you think Avis might fix, or if you're worried that Zipcar is going to morph into just another big car rental company in a way that will destroy its urban cool image. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And with us in the studio is Robin Chase, founder and former CEO of Zipcar. She's currently the founder and CEO of Buzzcar, another car sharing service. Robin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Nice to be here.
And also here is Scott Kirshner, a technology columnist and blogger for the Boston Globe and a frequent Radio Boston guest. Scott, great to have you here.
Thanks for inviting me.
And Scott, I want to start with you because I want you to put Zipcar in some context for us. It's been around for a while, but in many ways it revolutionized the idea of sharing that's now spread to Airbnb and Parking Panda that helps you find a parking spot. Tell us what Zipcar did for that industry.
Well, I can remember hearing about Zipcar, I think, right after Robin and her co-founder started it in Cambridge. And it was this very, like, very European, kind of faintly anti-American idea that, you know, we were going to all share the same car and reserve it for 2 or 3 hours at a time. And, like, what about all those other people using the car? Would they be as clean as me? And, you know, there were just lots of fears about it. And it also just seemed to go against the American birthright of, you know, when you're 16 years old, or at least when you graduate college, your parents hand you the keys to a car, and that's, you know, yours until you decide to trade it in or sell it or whatever. So it really felt like it had all these headwinds going against it culturally.
But Robin, now, of course, hourly car rentals seem basic to many of us. But when you started this 12 years ago, and I love this story because I believe your family had one car, your husband took it to work every day, and you were frustrated that this car just sat in a corporate parking lot all day long. So tell us what your vision was when you started this.
I love being in Boston because when I tell the story, it makes complete sense. So the story, he would take the car, it would sit on 128. And I, of course, lived in Cambridge, and there was no way I wanted to have another car that I would have to own, park, maintain, worry about snow, and when I only wanted it for a couple hours a week or maybe a couple hours a month. So the vision was to make access to a rental car as easy and convenient as owning your own car. And what I saw, I joked that the light bulb went off over my head, and I feel like it did, that this is what the internet was made for. And this is 2000, the fall of 99 and 2000, that the internet is made to share very specific resources easily among lots of people. And this is what wireless was made for, that we could get that reservation from a server to a car without effort. So those two things really sprang into my mind together with, wow, I want this service, and the technology is really right here.
And of course, Zipcar lets people live in the city but just have a car now and then, not have to pay the insurance, the maintenance, the gas. It's just made it, it's changed communities in some ways for people.
It has changed communities, and I think, and my goal would be that it changes, that the whole world figures it out. But when you live in cities or in university towns, Zipcar and car sharing is for anyone who doesn't need a car to get to work. And if you don't need a car to get to work, but you happen to own one, you're paying about $25 a day, day in, day out, for the privilege of owning that car, even though you're not using it. So when you don't drive it Monday through Friday, that's $125 you've thrown down the toilet. And so it makes complete sense. But before, your options were you own a car or you don't own a car, and that was really it. And we have always said that car rental was an option, but we all know our own selves that we never rent cars.
I don't know. I was on the way to the studio, I was feeling like I'm an old-fashioned Bostonian now, because I remember the pre-Zipcar days where, like, when you and your friends wanted to go skiing, one of you would, like, take the T out to Logan Airport and you'd go to the Hertz or Avis, you know, desk, and you'd stand in line for an hour and you'd rent the car and then you'd return it hopefully within the 24-hour period before they started charging you extra.
Now, Scott, now, of course, Zipcar part of Avis. In fact, you tweeted yesterday, here's your tweet, "Avis says the two key things a can introduce to Zipcar's model are velvet rope queues and carbon copy forms in quadruplicate. So give us a sense of, in terms of immediately how things might change at Zipcar, what do you think is going to be different?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the reaction was just that, you know, Zipcar was this revolutionary idea with really solid customer service and a great experience. So people don't have very positive associations with rental car companies. You know, I guess my hope of the good things that would change is, gee, if there were some Zipcars sitting around at airports where you could be guaranteed, you know, I'm just going to hop in a Zipcar and not stand in line at the rental counter or not show anything to anybody, just, you know, flash my Zipcar and open up this car. That would be a positive. You know, it sounds like they want to leave Zipcar to be run independently from Boston, and hopefully maybe just kind of give them some resources and some fuel to expand to other markets. And one of the interesting ideas was that Avis has a lot of cars that are unused on weekends, and Zipcar has a lot of demand on weekends. So could they somehow do a switcheroo there, where maybe some I'm not exactly sure how it would work, because Avis cars would need parking spots presumably closer to people in their neighborhood. So,
right. And Zipcar has said maybe we'll have more access to capital. We can buy more cars at a discounted rate, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I do worry. Like when I think about the Avis fleet, I think about a boring, you know, collection of cars.
Not
and I
a
think
Mini
about
Cooper.
Zipcar, it's like, you know, there are Volvos and there are Mini Coopers and there are, you know, some, I think, BMWs parked. And so it's a really, it's an more interesting collection.
So, Robin, those are some of the shorter term changes. But you, as the founder, I'm wondering if you think that long term Zipcar can maintain its core mission and image being part of Avis.
For me, what seems more interesting is to think, or that wasn't meant to be rude. Another way to switch that question around is to say, we need, all the old companies need to be able to figure out how to fit into the new economy, where we have much more participative, engaged in consumers, where we have a very fast pace of innovation and of technology innovation. All companies need to do that. And if we think that Avis can't do it, are we saying that all the big companies can't compete? And so I think we need to imagine that, of course, Avis and any big company, I talk to people, you know, at IBM and Cisco and Siemens and Ford and GM, all of them have to be able to change their business models.
You know, I want to go to a caller. This is a caller from Cambridge, Nikolai, who points out that already this idea existed in Europe. And in fact, I believe, Robin, your idea was inspired by something in Berlin. So this is Nikolai. Nikolai, you're on the air. Tell us your thoughts about this.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of comments before we pat ourselves too much on the back. Easy Car existed, I believe, in England, at least, maybe other places in the late 80s, early 90s, before EasyJet. And it's been several years that big rental companies, including Hertz and Avis, do hourly rentals in Paris in particular, where I've rented a vehicle. So it's just a comment, you know, to the effect that maybe we're not so advanced as we think we are.
EasyCar launched actually exactly the same time I launched Zipcar, and I remember reflecting, wow, I'm launching with three or four cars, and EasyCar started with 100 cars in London. And EasyCar, as you might know, went down in its original incarnation and didn't survive. And I was very proud of the fact that I started with less capital and we survived. And those other companies have followed Zipcar, that Hertz and Connect by Hertz and those other guys. It was Zipcar that built the model that had success and that had high rate of growth, where indeed the model did come from Europe, but they were very, I want to say, mom-and-pop kind of cooperative, very low technology, and we completely transformed the branding, the customer service, the technology, the way the technology enabled access. So we really did, we really were the ones that changed the game and made it successful.
I want to go to another caller. This is someone calling from out of state, Asheville, North Carolina, and this is Jenny. And Jenny, your thoughts about Avis buying Zipcar?
Yes, hi there. One of the questions that I have is, Avis has a presence here in Asheville. We're a small mountain community, but I like to think we're very similar to Cambridge in a lot of ways. For a small town. And I used Zipcar when I lived in Cambridge, and that's something that I really miss down here. And I'm wondering, because Avis has presence here, if they may be able to expand into smaller markets than what Zipcar has been able to do today.
Scott Kirshner, you think that's a possibility?
You know, I wonder if Avis would have some kind of formula for figuring out how to do the marketing in those smaller communities, because my understanding of the issue with Zipcar is you want to go into big cities with lots of young, you know, people Robin described, you know, they're young people, they don't need to own a car, they don't need to drive to work. You know, so Zipcar has said, we know how to market in those big cities and get enough members to support the first 10 cars and the first 50 cars. I'm interested in your thoughts, Robin, on like, you know, how do you do that in a smaller town or even a suburban area? You know, or can you do it if you're Avis?
What's required for traditional car sharing to succeed is that you need a density of users who don't need a car to get to work. So my question for you and where you're from is, what is the percent of people right within a mile radius of where you live that don't need cars to get to work? Because if you need a car to get to work, you will own one. And that really is the driving differential.
So that's part of the magic formula. You know, in some, even though Zipcar has been so culturally popular, it really has not been very financially strong, or at least let's say until about a year ago, it didn't turn a profit. It may have sold for $500 million, but a year ago or so, it was worth about $1 billion. So Scott, in some ways, is Avis a savior for Zipcar, at least financially?
It's an interesting question. Is Avis their savior? I mean, I hopefully Avis can help them figure out some of the operational things they need to understand to make more money. I mean, my understanding is that Zipcar, once they went into a city, after a few years, they would get to profitability in that city. But, you know, a lot of venture capital investors encourage you to grow fast and get into cities just so that you use up the oxygen and a competitor can't come in there and take over for you. You know, the interesting thing about Avis is that they have these locations at airports and in city centers, and you have all your operations in one place. All the cars come back there. You service them all in the same place. Zipcar, in a way, like created this very difficult model where you have cars parked in twos and threes all around the city. And, you know, I think about a day like the other day when it snowed and you have to send people around to dig out those cars. You have to send people around to clean those cars. When you maintain them, you have to go pick them up. So it's a very decentralized and in that way, expensive model.
We have another caller. This one is Frank from Jamaica Plain. And Frank, I understand you have you think there could be a benefit here to Avis stepping in.
Yes. I'm actually in a borrowed car right now. My quick history is I was a long-time Zipcar user, and I was using Zipcar so much that I did end up getting a car of my own. But then when gas prices shot up, I had to give that back and went back to borrowing cars. But I am hopeful about the new, you know, sort of corporate partnership, because I think, you know, with the added capital, with the benefit of, you know, having a stronger base, you know, I think Zipcar had already, to a certain extent, you know, gotten a bit big, you know, gotten a bit corporate. I mean, you know, how many cities and how many cars they had on the road. It's like those problems that were just mentioned, you know, dealing with all the day-to-day operations of it. It had gotten more than the sort of, you know, mom-and-pop, smaller business model. And it needs a corporate base. I actually also used to work for Sundance Channel, and that was Robert Redford started that, partnering with Showtime Networks. You know, so it was like this sort of idealized, you know, mission statement company built on, you know, the back of this huge conglomerate thing, but it actually worked. And I think this is a similar model.
Mm. Frank, thanks. And I want to go to another caller who has another thought about how there could be a benefit here. This is Paula from Cambridge. Hi, Paula, and what's your thought?
Hi, I've been a Zipcar user since 2005 and really happy with it. The one problem is that I think Zipcar drivers are unfairly stigmatized as bad drivers because the thought is, oh, well, you only drive, you know, once a month or for a few hours every week, so you're not a good driver. In fact, I've actually had a cab driver tell me, oh, I just wait 2 seconds before leaving on the horn and there's a Zipcar, you know, doing any, like, hesitating to make a turn or anything. So if there's some way, I know you can pay extra to not have the logo on the Zipcar, but if Avis could kind of make it more or less obvious that it is a rented car and so that the stigma would be gone, that would be really useful.
Paula, thank you. And Robin Chase, a Zipcar's founder, do you have a thought about that?
I was the first person to put a logo on the exterior of the car, and my feeling was this is not identifying you in a negative way. This is identifying you as a really positive way, meaning I'm a financially brilliant, hip, cool, urban insider, and I'm driving a Zipcar and I'm proud. It's interesting to me. I have never heard that Zipcar drivers are worse than anybody else. Each driver does get a background driving check before they join the company. And if you are a bad driver, we don't let you join. Scott.
I always sometimes assume that maybe the back of the car is all full of IKEA furniture, and so maybe they can't see out the rearview mirror. So just don't tailgate them too close.
There's a columnist for the Washington Post that is very negative about this. He believes that basically Zipcar is going to become, pretty much will become Avis. And he writes, quote, eventually all the old Zipcar executives will be fired or will migrate somewhere else. Auto purchasing will be centralized, as will the pickup points. The Zipcar website and computer system will be merged into the Avis website and computer system. Avis will want to do package deals with airlines and hotel chains and drag Zipcar customers into the loyalty program. If we set aside the fact that maybe Zipcar could see its staff swept, are these other things bad things to become more like Avis? Scott, what do you see as the positives and negatives of that?
Well, I did read that article and I thought, boy, that person, you know, by their logic, you would never have any company buy any other company because everything always goes wrong. It was a really negative view of mergers. But I do. I'm a Zipcar member and I have been for a few years. And I do worry just, you know, I have that member point of view of like, this is a company that you always can get someone on the phone to deal with your problem. You know, there was some car parked in a Zipcar space that wasn't supposed to be there. And you get a human being on the phone and they're like, I'm going to deal with that. I'm calling the cops. Don't worry about it. And, I do have that same fear of like once big corporations try to get efficiencies, economies of scale from everything, that maybe some of that personal homegrown touch that Robin started back in 2000 could disappear.
Robin, could you tell us the one major thing you hope Avis could do for Zipcar and the one thing you hope it won't do?
Well, something we haven't talked about that Avis can do is that they purchase a huge number of cars and they service a huge number of cars. And a significant part of Zipcar's costs are the acquisition, maintenance, and disposal vehicles. And one would like to imagine that a company that buys hundreds of thousands of them will have that at a lower price point and very efficiently done. So I see that that aspect of what Avis has to offer should be reducing Zipcar's costs and therefore hopefully prices to consumers. I mean, who can compete with a company of that scale who's been dealing with fleets all that time? As to whether they're going to ruin the brand, I can't speak to that. I have no idea what their plans are. But one would imagine, why in heck would they have bought them if they wanted to do away with that? I mean, what's the point?
We have a caller from Switzerland that I'd like to go to. This is Flavio calling from Zurich. And Flavio, your thoughts about Avis buying Zipcar?
Oh, I think it's great. And I believe that the savior here is Zipcar. Zipcar is saving Avis's business future. And talking about the future, I would like to ask about what do you believe is the potential of the combination of Zipcar, Avis, and the Google car, the self-drive car?
Robin?
I haven't thought about Google plus Avis plus Zipcar before. Just thinking about the Google car, which for those who don't know, the idea of a self-drive vehicle, I think that does need to be in a shared vehicle standpoint because that would reduce the cost of it and it would be heavily used. So I do see the self-drive cars as definitely part of a shared fleet, not something that individuals will be owning. As I think has been said a little bit in the press, for me, Avis buying Zipcar was something that was in the PowerPoint of Zipcar from its very first thing, because when you're trying to raise capital, the question is, what's your exit strategy? And the exit strategy is always, I laugh, it's either an IPO or you will be acquired, and you will be acquired by a car company or a car rental company. So it's always been the vision. And I laugh that Zipcar has executed both. We had an IPO and we were bought by a car rental company. But the plan has always been to transform the industry. And this is a step towards transforming the industry. And yes, Google cars are just like putting BMWs and Mini Coopers into the fleet. It will be another part of the fleet that people can have access to.
And Scott Kirshner, a big picture question, not just about transforming the industry, but the whole concept of peer-to-peer sharing. There was another columnist who described this acquisition as, quote, an important indicator of the global and infectious trend of sharing stuff and resources. What are your thoughts now? I mean, it's so part of the culture now. Your thoughts on where it still has to go? What more could we share and in what other unique ways?
Well, I mean, that is such a big trend. And I think people were so, including me, were so skeptical about, you know, how many people really could happily share the same car that was parked in their neighborhood. But now you're seeing people wanting to share their vacation homes or their apartments when they're not using them with Airbnb. You know, I'm not sure what else we can see. You know, in a way, sharing is starting to bump up against legal issues. You know, like, well, is it okay
with
your
landlord? Is your home
insured
if you have, exactly, if you have someone staying in your house when the insurance company didn't know it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I think all these expensive assets, you know, I've seen boat sharing companies where for the summer, you know, you can pay to share a boat that you drive around Boston Harbor and enjoy, and you don't have to have the pain of ownership. And they described it to me as this is like Zipcar for your boat. you know, so the idea can go to some interesting places. I mean, obviously, it's gone to private jet sharing for those at a different economic strata than I, you know, and all kinds of expensive assets. There are a number of startups that are trying to do it for, you know, expensive tools. Why do you need to own a lawnmower or, you know, ride on lawnmower when that's something you can borrow, you know, a few times a summer or big power tools and things like that?
And briefly, before we go, this is hard to answer possibly in yes or no, but would you say, Scott, verdict, good thing or bad thing to have Avis acquiring Zipcar?
My verdict on all acquisitions is like, wait a year and then you'll really know if it's good or bad.
And Robin, can you do a yes or no?
Oh man, Scott took my words. it's part of the transition to the future.
Robin Chase is the co-founder at Zipcar, now with a different car sharing company. Scott Kirshner is a technology columnist and blogger for the Boston Globe. We've been talking about Zipcar being bought by Avis for $500 million. Thanks to both of you for coming to the studio.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
And listeners, WBUR recently had a profile of Robin Chase. You can see that at radioboston.org. Stay with us. This is Radio Boston.